Good morning. We're in the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm chapter 70. If you're following along at home, you can find access to a copy of the Word of God. And if you don't have one, we have one on the screen for you. God's Word is powerful, whether we have the Bible open in front of us or we're listening to it. He speaks. So we pray that He speaks through these words this morning. Before I begin the reading, I just wanted to make a comment about Elijah. He was in a tough place, wasn't he, as we heard a little bit earlier? Running for his life in the wilderness, maybe we've never been quite to that place, but sometimes it can feel like we're running for our lives. I find it very fascinating to hear his report of God caring for him. He didn't ever abandon him, even made hotcakes for him in the desert. God is very gracious, even when we think we're forsaken and lost and don't have anyone. He reminds us that He's there. So if you're at home and you don't know the God that we're talking about, I just invite you to be curious with us this morning and then engage and be wondering, is this God real? He is there right where you are, just like He's in this room with us. We're in Psalm chapter 70, going to read the whole chapter. You're in for a long one, five verses.
Stand.
Please stand if you could as we read the Word of God together. To the choir master of David, for the memorial offering. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Most of us would prefer to be neat rather than messy. I say that because I look out on many smiling faces this morning, and you didn't bring your messy face. If you did, it would look a little different, I'm supposing. Now, I say that because I've got a couple of kiddos, so the messy face comes out in our household a little more often maybe than it does in yours. However, we all have a messy face. We all have a messy side. And I think most of us, when we assemble, like to kind of leave that side and come to God with only our best side. But David invites us in the Spirit of God in our text this morning that actually this five-verse text encourages us not only to bring our messy side to God, but it's actually a good and gracious gift of God that we come to Him in our messy side. Because it's in those moments of messiness that we actually see our true need. We didn't come this morning clothed in our righteousness. We've been confessing it all morning. Nothing in my hands I bring, the song says. Simply to thy cross I cling. We come needy. And it's when we can speak of our neediness, there is a good gift from our Father. David invites us about this. You see, God's a little more comfortable when we come to Him as snotty-nosed children than you and I like to think. In fact, our passage says that God ordained these things because when we're urgent in our plight, when there are things wrong in our lives and we're undone, it's actually a highlight of our good and gracious God's need to come to us in a hurried defense. We are needy people, and God loves to care for needy people. You see, maybe we all need to be a little more like children this morning. Sometimes when Karis prays, she says, God, hep. Hep, God. Don't we all need to pray that sometimes? It's urgent moments that we have a sense of our great need. I don't have time to flower up the language. I just need help now. If you've had a moment like that, maybe you're there right now. I encourage you. God wants to hear the messy help, God. God help this morning, crying from your soul to your Father. Because it's in these moments that our Father loves to rush to us and help. Don't be surprised. We read these words from a king. This is King David, the one who led mighty armies into battle, was king for 40 years. The man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel tells us. Yet he has troubles, messy troubles, ones that he's urgently needing, desperately, and maybe even frequently, his Father's help. What do we do this morning? Let our souls cry with David and with Karis. Hep, God. God, hep. David does. And it's there he finds three things in our text. He finds there's a rescue, first of all. There's a rescue. It's a quick deliverance for himself. It only came because he was desperate to cry for it. Secondly, we find there is a ruin there when we cry in desperation. There's a ruin that the evil plans of the enemy are turned back. They are turned, as David writes, to confusion. And that's usually how God gets us. Our plans fail oftentimes, and then we realize our need. Maybe even in evil, God is using our cries for help, God, to undo another's desperation for God's help and rescue. And so there's not only a rescue and a ruin, but there's also a third, a rejoicing. The psalmist David says that when we cry to him for help, we actually get a bigger picture than just us. It seems antithetical to our imagination to say, I'm going to talk about my absolute dire childlike neediness. And oh, in that way, my Father's going to get my heart open to the needs of those others around me. No, that's what David finds here is true. He his heart is flowering open, and he says, I want all that seek God to rejoice and be glad in him. And it's because he's desperate. It's a grace for rejoicing in others. And third, that fourth way is that as David's working it all out in prayer, he's finding there's a response and a new outlook in life that God wells up within him. He sees himself differently in his desperate neediness that he's admitted. He sees God differently, and he sees others differently. Everything has changed because David was like a child. You and I need to put our faces in our childlike disposition this morning and accept the new outlook our Father is longing to give us this morning if we would but cry out for help. See, David's writing to the choir master. And, you know, David was a musician. He's singing this. He's saying this is about a memory. We're to remember something as we're offering in worship, that this is a part of it. And so we find David remembering. What kinds of things would he be remembering? Well, remember the times that the Lord has delivered David maybe in his life. He thinks back perhaps when he's a shepherd boy. And remembering the times that God cared for his sheep. And there was wild beasts coming, and he gave him this power and the strength to go and tend to those beasts. And some of the beasts were torn up, and he was able to defend the lion that had come and defend his sheep. Maybe David remembers that. Maybe he remembers when the giant was defeated. Maybe he remembers when he's the musician who can barely escape the king's violent outbursts. God helped him, didn't he? in many seasons of his life when he's the Lord's anointed on the run. How many caves did David hide in? He had a protector even as he goes into battle. Even when he's wrong and he takes a poor man's lamb, as Nathan confronts him later to find out, and he lies to cover it up and he takes another's wife, God is gracious in pursuing David. And he has to remember he's but a child. So let us remember this morning some of the ways in our lives that God has delivered us and cared for us. And let us sing of those things. You see, first of all, we're going to find out that there's a rescue that God needs, that we need, but we got to admit it. I need help. There's a song, maybe you remember, help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. I could go on, but I think you've already got it in your head now. It's David right now, in a way. Not just anybody's help is going to do for David. He says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Do you sense the urgency? He goes from the very general name for God to the specific covenant keeping. O Lord, all capitals in our English. That's the covenant name of God. God, you have honor to defend. You are a king and a Lord, and you're my Lord. You've covenanted yourself to me. Come through and defend your honor. O God, my God, now it can't wait another minute. If you've ever had a moment in your life that you needed something now, this is a moment, David reminds us, that's not a time that God has given you by accident. Your neediness is actually meant to turn to God. Will you look to Him for rescue in your neediness, or will you pretend you're not needy, or will you look to another rescuer, a false rescuer, which doesn't really rescue? David encourages us, come to the one who can actually answer. Because all of the rest of our rescuers are more like the prophets of Baal crying out to their false god. And they can't, no matter how much they strike and cut themselves and call out, a dead stone idol cannot respond in life-givingness. It's the same with our things we seek rescue in that are not the one true God. See, all other rescuers cannot come through. But there is one. Make haste, O God. Make haste, Yahweh, covenant-keeping God, to me. Come and help me. David knows God will deliver him. And so he cries out in earnestness. And secondly, ruin, he says. Turn the tables, O Lord, on my enemy. Turn things around. They want to dishonor me, God. I want you to dishonor them. This is actually a little bit imprecatory if you're hearing that, as we've been learning. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Lord, it's actually not just about me and my life. It's about your honor. You defend me not because I'm so great, but because you've covenanted yourself to me. And in defending me, you're defending yourself. Your honor is at stake. Don't let these scoundrels get away with it. Let them be turned back. Let them be brought to dishonor. They have a sick pleasure. They delight in hurting. David wants God's honor. And it's not, he could make it about him in a moment of threat. I know in a moment of threat, I so easily turn the tables and I want to twist it about defending me. David's not concerned about defending himself here. God, it's about you. Defend me because it's about you. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. And so there's a ruin that comes. We think of the many times in history that ruin has come upon those who are following false idols. Think about even Adam and Eve. They're trying to go after a fruit. They think it's good to taste, but it's withering and rotten compared to the soul nourishment of their Creator. His ways are good. The idols maybe in our day are busyness or ease, hurry or success, distraction or pleasure. But friends, none of them, David reminds us this morning, can compare with the covenant-keeping God who is our one true defender. You don't need to defend yourself when you're linked up to Him. He will do it. Call to Him. And so David does. Let them be ruined. He's not bashful about it because it's God's honor at stake. And then he's inviting us to join him in asking for a rejoicing, verse 4. He says, "May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you." It's like there's this sudden grace that comes to David in the midst of calling out for help and God's condemnation upon his enemies. Because it's about God's honor, David has this realization much bigger than himself. His eyes are peeled back from navel gazing. That's where I go in times of trouble. Woe is me, moping around, pouty. Maybe it's just because I'm a guy, I like to pout, sulk. I don't think there's any other guys in the room that are like that. I'll talk to your wives afterwards. You can talk to mine too. But she's not here today. So and don't you dare chime in, Rebecca, from the live stream. David gets a bigger picture, doesn't he? He doesn't see himself. He starts to realize, actually, if it's about God's honor in my being defended, then it's actually about all the saints of God's family rejoicing together. Because there's something bigger than me in this moment of my pain. There's something far greater God is doing. And so I want all who love your salvation to always forever say, God is great. When was the last time you said God is great? In your pain. God wants, through David this morning, us to be beckoned. Get off yourself, y'all. There's a king, and he's about a big plan, and yours and my painful distractions are meant to stoke our hearts and our eyes to see the world as he sees it. Look to his honor, and he will rescue. Look to the ruin of evil, and he will do it, and rejoice with the saints, because he is doing a greater work than you or I could imagine. It's about desiring the highest good for the people on both sides. Our enemies, Lord, may they be confronted that they're actually on the side of evil and they need to be confronted with the truth. And those who are your people, may they seek the highest good and find their delight and their worship fully in you, God. David, as he gets perspective on his situation, starts to see his enemies and God's family differently. Friends, this, I think, is the biggest primary problem in most evangelicalism. We have our eyes on about our consumeristic models of the ways we want to do everything my way, and we think it's about me, but it's not. God wants us in our troubles not to say, let me seek my comforts, but to say, cry out to me, my friends. Cry out to me, children. I am your dad, and I love to rescue. And in so doing, I'm going to show you what my world is really like and my heart is really like. You see, in rejoicing together that greatness of God in perspective, David comes to realize a response. That's our fourth part of the text. He finds that he's really coming to a king. Like the song we sang, that thou art coming to a king. Large petitions let us bring. For his love, and grace, and power are such that none can ever ask too much. None can ever ask too much. With my burden I begin. Lord, ease this weight of sin. And he keeps going. David says, in Psalm 103, this is not just a God who's too high to care for my troubles. He says, he's one who knows my frame. I'm mortal. He knows I am weak, and he remembers that I am dust. And so here he can say, but I am poor and needy. The saints of God, God's doing something about the greatness of him, and his salvation is greater than all the ruin the enemy could try to turn on him, than all the neediness he could have. And David finds, I am actually a weak and wimpy dude. Come to me, my God. It's there that he says, oh, God. And he goes from the general, and you find in the end, he goes to the specific covenant-keeping God name again. You are my help, my deliverer. He knows it now. He's prayed it out. Oh, Lord, there's the covenant name. Do not delay. David comes to a new place about God's rescue, and he rests in that rescue. Does he have the rescue yet? No. He's still in the ugly place. He's still messy. But he's okay there, because there's one who's going to get him out of it. And he trusts that. And then he rests in the fact that evil will be ruined, that the saints will rejoice, that God's greatness is beyond this circumstantial moment. And so I ask you this morning, friends, this was a song David sang. What's your song? What's your message? What prayer needs to be prayed in your heart this morning to work out all the kinks in your faith and see the world through God's faith glasses? See, it's in our singing that we align ourselves with the truth. God is great. Nothing else is mattering as much as my worship of him. And so, David's view of self, he says, I'm poor and needy. Are you poor and needy today? It's actually a good thing, as we've seen in David. And he says, and there's a great God that I see too, as I see myself in this place. You are my help and my deliverer. Are we there? Because that's where the song started in the service. Come thou fount of every blessing, here I raise my Ebenezer, a stone of remembrance. That we would erect pillars of our neediness because they point to the one who is great in his rescue. This morning, if you're finding you're weak and floundering and flailing and just a puddle, come to Jesus. We have a great Savior who delights in rescuing needy children in all their messiness when they cry out to him. Let us raise remembrance stones of our messy prayers, and let us get perspective from our King, from our Father, because he really does provide. We can't ask too much. Let's ask boldly. Let's ask for urgent help. It may be, friends, that asking is the biggest grace that you're missing right now, because the King can handle needy children, and you and I are one of them. Will we come to him as needy? It's not about our Sunday best. It's about our messy worst. Bring him both. He says in another song, all the fitness he requires is to see your need of him, friends. If you feel like you're a mess, you're in good company. We're all a mess deep down. And we're learning to admit it more, because that's how Jesus teaches us. That's how David teaches us. But he doesn't see us just as a mess, does he, friends? Because in Jesus, he sees all that he asks, he provides. All the law required that you and I, in our messy grossness of dribbles all down our front, from just slobbering and trying to get it all right, Jesus is the older brother. And he is actually the one who has it together. Do you feel desperate in your neediness today? Because another song invites us, I will arise and go to Jesus. Will you? Because in his arms he'll embrace me. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. And every day we get to unpack another one as we walk with our Savior. There is the greatest blessing that you and I probably are missing. But this season of neediness might just be the one that God reminds us of how great a rescuer He really is. I see it's 18th century hymn writer William Cowper. Maybe you've heard of him. In 1779, he was known for being one who struggled deeply. One who was a mess. He had seasons of deep depression. He was brutally honest about him in some of his hymn poems. In this one I'm about to quote, he subtitled it, "Looking Upwards in the Storm." Maybe you're in a storm and you need to look up this morning. It's called, "God of My Life, to Thee I Call." Just listen in on his relationship with his Father that he found was good rescuer in his neediness. And here's what he said about it. "Friend of the friendless and the saint, where should I lodge my deep complaint? Where but with Thee, whose open door invites the helpless and the poor? That were a grief I could not bear, didst Thou not hear and answer prayer. But a prayer hearing, answering God, supports me under every load." He felt that when he wrote that. "Poor though I am," he went on to write, "despised, forgot. Yet God, my God, forgets me not. And He is safe and must succeed for whom the Lord is sure to plead." Friends, do you have an advocate like that? I hope you do. Because this is the messy side of church. Come and bring Him your messiness. And let Him be a great rescuer. Let's go to Him in prayer. Oh Lord, we, like little children, crawl up on your lap. Oh Daddy, we tell you we're a mess. We tell you we don't have it together. And you remind us of your Son Jesus. Oh Lord, let us see Him anew this morning, even as we see our neediness anew this morning. Let us, in that good grace, start to have a picture of the world around us and the rescue that You want to give, that You have promised to give, and one day You'll come back and You will finish what You started. It's certain. You are gonna fix it. So we lean into that rescue and we wait for You, our King. Lord, train our eyes and our hearts to seek the ruin of evil, to pray for it imprecatorily like David, and to rely on You to do it and not take matters in our own hands. Oh Lord, let us learn to rejoice with David. Let us learn to rejoice that You're doing something bigger than just me and my pain and my wimpy weariness. You're doing something of calling those who to rejoice in Your salvation. Would You make us glad in rejoicing with them? And would You, oh God, would You give us a response that we'd start to see You and ourselves and our world, evil and good, what You're up to from Your perspective. We will give You the praise and the glory. And we thank You in Christ's precious name. Amen.